Good morning, everyone. It's very lovely to see you. You all look great. And just want to welcome anybody who's here with us for the first time. My name is Kuda. I'm one of the very happy members of this church, and it's really lovely. And you're very welcome to our Sunday service. So just like to thank the choir for a lovely rendition of His Mercy Is More, which is in line with what Nathan is going to be speaking to us later on when he's answering that wonderful question, will God love me no matter what? So you have a lot to look forward to today. And I've got the order of service, and I'm very excited. So I just want to encourage you that, you know, if you're feeling a little bit excited, it's okay. You're in good company, because I'm right up there with you. Just before we go into anything else, can we just say a word of prayer? Mighty God, we just want to thank you for this beautiful day and for your love that has brought us to this place, your house, to sup from your table, to enjoy each other's company, to praise and to glorify your name above all else that we do. And we pray that, Lord, as we come into your presence now, that you will be glorified, and that your name will be lifted up, O Lord. Let no man take the glory today, but may your name, O God, be glorified. We praise and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just before we get too far into the service, we're going to save the songs for a little bit later on. We've got quite an action-packed service for you, so I do need to get on with things. But there's a couple of people that have asked specifically for prayers. Judith has laryngitis. She's one of our singers, and you might know her from that. And Tina, who's Adrian's auntie, has fallen and hurt her shoulder. So for those that know, those of you that know her, she's not at home at the moment. She's staying with her daughter. She's absolutely fine, and she's just taking things very easy at the moment. Lydia, one of our new people that come into the congregation, her mom passed away 3 days ago, so if you could pray for her. And whatever prayers we send up, God knows those people. He knows the specific need. So if you just remember those people in prayer, then God will send the comfort and the angels to be with them. So thank you for that. And also just to let you know, the praise and worship service this evening is going to be led by the food bank team. They are very excited about it, and I'm very excited for them. So if you can come to our evening service tonight, they have chosen some amazing songs and are going to be talking about why they chose them, some of them. And some of them will just be hiding in the background, but it should be all good. Today we are celebrating Compassion Sunday. All over the UK, all over the world, people are celebrating the work that Compassion UK do in for children in deprived areas and raising them up. But you don't want to hear it from me, who's guessing a little bit. But I can proudly say that I do believe in that mission, and I am one of the sponsors of a Compassion Child. So I have a little girl who's going to be 8 on the 1st of July, and her name is Nayeli. And I'm very happy to be sponsoring her through as much of her life as she needs me. So I'm going to ask Dora, who's here with her associate, to come up, and she's going to tell us about Compassion Sunday. Thank you, Dora.
Good morning, church. Good morning. So I'm here with my colleague Sheba, and in a little while you'd also know or understand why Sheba is here. But we're both here firstly because we want to appreciate what you as a church have done over several years in supporting the Ministry of Compassion. We describe ourselves as a child development organization releasing children from poverty. And what that looks like is that we go alongside churches across 25 countries who have a heart for the poor, know the needs of their community, but often don't have the resources or the know-how to make a difference in the lives of those children. And as we go alongside them, we enable them to have a structured program that they run in the local center that they have, and they bring these children together. But also through a one-to-one child sponsorship model, we're able to then ensure that each of those children would have access to education, their healthcare needs are catered for, and that anything that they need to be able to thrive and to be released from poverty is provided to them. And so I just want to share with you a short snippet, as much as I possibly can, of the impact that you're making here as a church, for which reason Compassion is really thankful. So if we could show the second slide, please. Right, so as a result of your support, over 36,000 has been spent by the children in the projects in Ecuador that you support, and over 13,000 nutritious meals have been provided to them. They've got over 200 Bibles have also been given to them, 49 Bibles rather, and over 200 medical checkups. Next slide, please. What that looks like is that in the last 12 months, we've received a total of £16,654 from that sponsorship money. And the sponsors, your generous people, you've given, in addition to that money, 40 gifts to the children. Next slide, please. And letter writing, getting to know your sponsored child, for many of you who sponsor, is embedded in our program, and over 152 letters have been written by the children in the last 12 months, and sponsors have written 63. Next slide, please. Right, so that is a breakdown of the number of children that is linked to this church, 30 altogether, 13 girls and 17 boys. And on this note, I just think you need to give yourselves a round of applause for what you're doing, your incredible support. But Sheba is not just a colleague of mine. She used to be a Compassion Child, and she's going to share with you. She's going to try and condense many years of her life in like 5 minutes. From what life was before Compassion, how Compassion made a difference, and how is even impacting her life now. So please make welcome to Sheba.
Hello, everyone. Praise God. Thank you so much for inviting me and for having us here as Compassion. I know there's so many ministries around, like support children, and so many ministries around the world to help people in deprived areas. One of the stories Maria Teresa told, when the journalists asked her that helping the poor will never end, because it's just like a drop in the ocean. Poverty, no matter how you help, it doesn't go away. People are still poor, so what's the need? And her response was that, well, the ocean is made up of many drops. And over the years, I've watched the Minister of Compassion. I come from Uganda, and I was born and at the border of Uganda and Rwanda. And in my village, where I come from, they didn't believe in educating girls. So the girl child was not really, it wasn't very important to them, because they thought once a girl grows up at the age of 14, 15, they get married and then they go and look after the other family or wherever they go to. So there was no need for them. That was their belief. And I remember at the age of 14, I was already now at the Compassion Project. They had given me the opportunity to go into the Compassion Project. And one of my aunties sat me down and said, Sheba, there's no point for you to go to school. Even if you go to the highest institution, Makerere University, there's no point, because you will never earn the respect if you don't get married. If you don't have children. And to me, because I was already having a sponsor, a youth group from America, which was encouraging me, writing to me, telling me I'm going to be a history maker, pushing me, showing me a different side to life. And that night, they had planned to marry me off at the age of 14. And because of compassion, because of I was ready, like there was so much in my head to look forward to, writing back to the sponsors, mentors at the project who were cheering me on, encouraging me that I can be a history maker, I can make it, I can change the history in my generation. And indeed, that was my story. And so that didn't happen, and Compassion rescued me, and I grew up to change the history of my village. Over the years, I became a reference in my village. If I could make it and be educated, go to the highest institution, change the history, change, the poverty, why can't our girls do it? So everybody started educating the girl child in my village. And in fact, I was the girl in the entire community of like 5,000, 5 or 15,000, I can't remember the statistics, who ever went to high school, ever. Not even, I think, high O level I'm talking about, or even beyond primary school, because that was the perception they had. That was the mindset. And I, through compassion, I was able to be educated. I got the degree. I became like sort of a reference. I got a degree. And then years later, I also came to the UK on a partial scholarship, and then had a master's degree in international relations and globalization. And then I was also able to break the cycle of poverty. Not known people in my entire family community that had ever been married in church. Never. So again, I was the first girl to ever do that, and I got married to a very nice Nigerian man. It's his birthday today. And we've got 3 children. Our first is 12, 9, and 6. And I remember when I was coming here today, my daughter told me, I've got a friend of mine in the same school. I've already told her. And I'm like, really? Are you sure? What's she going to say? She said, Mom, you've got a great story. I think she's going to be encouraged. So wherever you are, Yeah, so I just wanted to encourage you that I'm just one of them that Compassion has raised, but Compassion also, once you sponsor a child through Compassion, you are giving them vast, you know, you're exposing them to a good childhood that would never have, you know, received. You're helping them not to be married off at a young age. You're helping them not to be exposed to drugs, like in Brazil, in South America, some of the stories I've seen. I've been to the Philippines where I saw children living in live tombs where they bury people. And these children, because of Compassion, they don't see that. Compassion gives them hope. There's so much hope. And through that, Compassion has raised the army. Compassion has raised politicians. People who have now changed the narrative that it's not the drop in the ocean. We've changed our governments. I can't begin to tell you the statistics. And I just wanted to encourage you.
Before I sit, every time I've been with Sheba sharing her testimony, but there are so many times when she will say something that I've never heard before. Like the bit about the wedding, I'd never heard it before. This is the first time. But this is to encourage you that if you're sponsoring, carry on doing it. Sometimes we know you do it sacrificially. For some of you, it's not because you've got so much in the bank. But one thing is for certain, that as you make a difference, and if perhaps today you're considering joining in for £28 a month, you can pair up with somebody and you can also make a difference. We've got a table at the back and you can see us, and we'll be more than happy to answer your questions. But before I sit, I want to share with you a quick passage of scripture, Matthew 25 from verse 34 to 37. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you some drink?" Then the next verse says, when verse 30, the king will reply, 40 rather, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me." So the Lord bless you in all you do. And if you're going to be joining in, this is a promise to you. And we know that God is faithful. Be blessed.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dora, and thank you, Sheba. That was very, very inspirational, very well presented. Thank you very much. And my prayer is that it would have touched the hearts of somebody here. It would have touched the hearts of somebody who is not currently sponsoring a child to desire to do that. And if God is speaking to you, I pray that you will be faithful in following what God is telling you to do. I know it's £28 a month, and sometimes that can be quite a lot. But one of the things that I heard, which was quite inspirational, was that there were three friends that got together, and between them, they could manage £28 a month. So that is something to give people ideas. If things are really tight right now, you know, if you can only do £10, find another two people that can only do £10 as well, and God will get his work done on this earth. Wouldn't it be great to have sponsored Sheba? I mean, gosh, she's doing so much. God bless you. And raising a wonderful family. And we have a birthday. Woo! So let's do the birthday box. We are also compassionate about our own children in the house. So anybody that has a birthday today, any of the young people? Come on, Louisa. I know you're out there. I know you have a birthday today. Right, Louisa is going to decide whether she wants to come out or not, or whether she wants to get her gift later on. She's turned 17, so do pray for her. Next birthday, she'll be voting, so that's always very scary for parents. And anybody else? Any of the adults have a birthday? I don't want to miss you out. Sally, when did Sally have a birthday? Ooh! And it's a big one. It has a zero on the end of it. 40 again. She's 40 plus 20 maybe. But yes, Sally, happy birthday to you for last Thursday as well. Can we sing happy birthday, please? Happy and thank God for you. Okay, now you've been sitting down for a while. I think you need a little bit of exercise. So we are going to stand and sing two songs. And it's to give God his place in our lives and to give God his place in the service. We're going to sing Father God, I Wonder. And we're going to sing And Can It Be That I Should Gain. If you listen to the words of it, it's very much looking for our place in what God is and what God does. Hopefully this will lead us nicely to when Nathan is talking to us in the sermon. So if we could stand and sing those two songs. Thank you.
Thank you.
Excellent. Please take your seats. Oh, that last verse, isn't that amazing? Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. And there's no other better place to claim that throne except when we are at the table with Jesus Christ. His sacrifice remembered today to change our lives forever and send us forth to do God's work. This is where we get it all, our strength and everything. And later on, we'll be sharing communion. And I don't think I've seen this done before in this church, but if you are at home or listening by any other means and you want to join in the communion, get your elements now. Get something that represents the blood of Jesus. Get something that represents his body crushed for you. And when we have communion in church, wherever you are in the world, share the communion with us. It doesn't have to be a special occasion. I know we normally have Nathan, we have a minister. Any one of us that believes can have communion. We can share communion together. So please don't be left out on this glorious meal to remember all that Jesus has done for you, to bring you boldly before the throne and to claim the crown that belongs to you, the crown he paid with his very blood. I'm now going to ask Cresta to come up and lead us in a time of prayers. Thank
you. We thank God for the communion, compassion service today. Compassion in our hearts gives us a reason and a drive to intercede. And so before we go in to intercede with compassion in our hearts, I just want to share from Philippians 4, 5 to 7. And it says, "The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Mm-hmm. Let us pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, we come knowing that indeed you are at hand. You are here in our midst. And because you are here in our midst, we bring before you every worry, every concern, every anxiety, and we drop it at your feet in supplication. Mm. And we know that as we do this, your peace will replace those worries. Your peace will send out those fears and those concerns. And so we come, O God, before your throne, and we appreciate you for the things that you have done, for the battles that you have won on our behalf that sometimes we don't even get to see because you have already taken charge and sent them away. Yes. Father, we are grateful. We appreciate you for your goodness, for your loving kindness, for your protection, for your provision, for all the wonderful things that you do for us. We come with thanksgiving in our hearts today, and we lift our hearts to you and say, thank you, God. We give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor. Hallelujah. Father God, we come before you lifting up the needs of every one of us here in this place. Father, Lord, as our faces differ, so do our problems. So do the things that give us worry. And so, Father God, we come with all of these things and we say, oh God, is there anyone here who is in need of your touch, of healing? Father God, you are the God that healeth us. You are the God, our healer. You send your word and you heal our diseases. You are the God, our healer. And Father, Lord, we bring this song before you. We declare that you are the God that heals. And we know, Father, that when you send your word, it will heal every disease, every sickness, everything that is a worry. And is there any one of us here who may have just recently heard from the doctor a news that is not so great? Father, we bring that news before you and before the word that we know that you have spoken concerning us. Your report, O God, is what we choose to believe. We know that the reports of the doctor may be what they saw, but we choose, Father, by faith, to believe your report. And your word says that your report says we are healed, we are free, and we have got victory. Yes. And this is what we hold onto for every report or every health concern or every disease that has been a concern. Father God, we decree over them and we say that we are healed, we are free of sickness. And we have victory in Christ Jesus. Father God, we pray for the needs of every one of us here, financial, emotional, every form of need, oh God. Is there someone that is in particular, is particularly desiring you to step in for them, to show up for them, Father God? We bring that need before you and we say, oh God, you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You are more than enough. And we say, oh God, that you will show up in the life and in the situation of any one of us here that needs you to show up in the area of needs, oh God. Amen. As we pray for needs, we know that they are beyond resources. And so we pray for every family that is represented here and even those that are not here. Father God, heal our families. What are those needs in our families? Is there a child that a parent has been praying for to come back home? Is there a marriage that has been seeking your touch? Is there a family that has been praying for one member to come to know you or more? Father, today we bring these needs before you and we say, oh God, touch every heart that needs you. They may not be here physically, but wherever they are, oh God, on the surface of this wonderful earth that you have created, we ask that your love will transcend every distance. It will transcend every negative experience that has driven them far from you, and you will restore and bring these ones and reunite families again under your umbrella of love. Yes, Father God, we pray for our community here in Sittingbourne, that you will, oh God, use us as a tool to reach out to this community. That Father God, when they look towards this area where this temple of yours is situated, that Father, they will see a flag, oh God, flown high, a halo of your light, and they will know that there is just something different. And even we, when we have gathered here and we go out, oh God, that that halo, that light will continue to shine, and we will stand out and be the light that will illuminate every darkness and begin to cause darkness to dissipate. Father God, we in Sittingbourne Baptist Church, we choose today over and again to be the light to our community, to bless them, to show them love, that they may know that Jesus is truly Lord, and that they will be drawn to that love and they will come to you. We pray for our leaders. We pray for Reverend Nathan. We pray for the deacons and the deaconesses. We pray for the church administration, everybody who's got their hands on the plow, the volunteers. Father God, that you will bless the works of our hands that we bring before you, that as we have set our hands to the plow, that you, oh God, will cause every little effort that we put in, you will magnify it and make it big and make the effect of it blow our minds, oh God. Father, we pray for the person, Reverend Nathan, who you're using as an arrowhead in this place. I pray that you give him ingenious ideas on how to do your work in the way that brings you honor and praise and glory. And Father, Lord, finally, we just pray for our leaders, Father, starting from our nation, oh God, that this kingdom, Father God, you will show up, oh God, you will touch the hearts of the leaders. Your word says, oh God, that you hold the hearts of the leaders of kings in your hand, and you turn it whithersoever you will. Father, we call that forth in this kingdom in the name of Jesus, that you will behold the heart of the king, and you will turn it in line with your will, that Father God, love will begin to flow for in this nation from the leaders to the people and from the people to themselves. And Father God, that we will be one happy family under you. Father, we just bless you. Glory, we give you praise and glory for the things that we have not even remembered to pray about. We know that the Holy Spirit already knows and has already taken charge. We just bless you, oh God. We give you glory, honor, praise, and adoration. Thank you for honoring us with your presence. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, and thank you very much, Cresta. Cresta, you're going to hear more about and more from, hopefully, later on in the year, because she's organized. She's agreed, by not saying no, to organize a trip to Chessington, a fun day out for the church to just have fun. So that's going to be in all the newsletter and publications in the next few weeks. So thank you for stepping forward and not running away. God bless you. People do. Some people do run away. But God doesn't run away from us. And every time we draw close to him, he draws close to us. And the next song that we're going to sing says just that. It says, you did not wait for me to draw close to you. God is always drawing close to us all the time. So we're going to sing that, and then after that, Nathan is going to come and lead us in communion. Thank you. Need to say just it.
Thank you. Well, good morning, church. And as we come now to this family meal, as we approach the table of compassion for us, a table of unconditional love for us, this meal that was instituted by none other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself, who gathered his friends, his disciples, to partake of this meal, as often as they would do it, that they would do it in remembrance of him. And as we follow that same vein, that same example that has been set for us to do, we approach with reverence and with gratitude in our hearts for all that the Lord has done for us through Jesus Christ. All are invited to partake of this meal as long as you know for yourself and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you have not yet come to that decision for yourself, then I would just encourage you to allow this meal to pass you by until you come to that knowledge of Jesus for yourself. I'm going to invite one of our deacons to come now and lead us in a prayer of thanks for the bread and for the wine.
Let us pray. Mighty God, we thank you because you have prepared indeed a table before us, and you have put on there all the things that are lacking in our lives. We thank you for the love that is on the table. We thank you for resources on that table. We thank you for wisdom, O God. And we thank you for anything that we lack, strength, hope, whatever we need for the week ahead, for the month ahead. Lord, we thank you that it is laid out on this table. And we come in faith, O Lord, but we also come in humility, knowing that without the blood of Jesus, we would not be worthy to even come to this table. But you invite us, under the covering of his righteousness, to come and sup with you and take all that we need. And Father, therefore we come before you as your children, those that are called into your house, to come and take what we need, a very unfair covenant that you give us, the right to stand before the throne and eat at this table. So mighty God, in faith we take our healing, we take our money, we take our resources, we take whatever the future, the good future that Jesus Christ has died for us, we take that from this table now as we share and enjoy it together in fellowship. And we humbly bow ourselves and say, the strength that we get from this table, Lord, let us use it for your glory. Let us make a difference in this world. And in all else, Almighty God, let us glorify the name of Jesus in everything we do. Amen.
Amen. Church, on the night that our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, gathered round the table with his disciples, he took bread. And after giving thanks, he said, take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for each of you. This do ye in remembrance of me. Well, friends, as you're now served with what represents the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, please do eat it as you receive it and be thankful in your hearts. Amen. Bless you. Are you going upstairs? Okay.
Loving kindness as the world.
In like manner, he then took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant that will now be in my blood. No longer will you need to kill an animal as a sacrifice for sin, but now Jesus becomes that perfect Lamb of God that was slain for us. As often as you do it in remembrance of me." Because often as we eat from this bread and we drink from this cup, we do show forth the Lord's death and proclaim it until he comes again. As you're now served with what represents the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, please do retain your cup until we've all been served, and then we'll drink together as a sign of our Christian unity through Jesus. Amen.
Lord, a vast and gracious time.
Wherever you are from, whatever country you were born in, whatever your race, background, this blood that we drink, it unites us through the love of Jesus Christ. And now we are one body, although made up of different members, we're all connected to the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the source of our salvation. Let us drink together now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you again for the greatest sacrifice ever known. Thank you that you didn't wait for us to come to you. But thank you that you demonstrated your love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we are eternally grateful for all that you have done for us. And we pray, Lord, that we will continue not just to remember your sacrifice by partaking of communion, but we would seek to live our lives each day to honor you and always remember Jesus. Every decision we make, every deed, may we always remember the Lord Jesus Christ. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Nathan. Thank you, children, for staying with us so long in the service. And I do ask the Sunday school teachers to just excuse us as the service has gone on, but it's been action-packed. And when I was praying about it, I was thinking, what do we leave out? And there was nothing. I left out two songs, so, you know, you can thank God for that. But I still have a couple of things to do before the children do go out. One is to remind, thank you for sharing the meal that is our Christian meal together, a symbol of our faith. And next week, we have the excitement of another symbol of our faith and the reason why the choir sang this week instead of next week. Next week, the baptistry is going to be open because one of our members is going to be dunked like a chocolate biscuit. Josh, stand up, Josh. I know you're very excited about it. God bless you. God bless you. You're coming next week. Yes, next week, you're coming for baptism.
Yes.
Thank God. It will be our newest member to be baptized.
Yeah.
We'll hear his story next week. Thank you. Go take a seat. So, we can pray for Josh in the meantime. We can pray for his faith to continue to be strong and look forward to that excitement. I won't be leading, so it won't be so long next week. But I did pray about what God wanted me to share with you guys today. And what my thoughts were, and it is still something that's still very, very relevant to the children. I would have played a song, and it's a song that some of the children that have come to Holiday Club here know very well. And it's one that where God says, I think that God thinks that you're amazing. He thinks that you're his special child. He thinks that you can do anything, and he loves you especially. And I was saying to the Lord, well, what verse can I use to buttress this? And at the moment, I'm in Ezekiel, and Brian, who's been teaching Digging Deeper, knows how difficult Ezekiel is as a book to read. And in Ezekiel, it has a lot of prophecies, and some of them are really far out there. And that's the bit where it has the dry bones. That's Ezekiel. But I was reading Ezekiel 40 to chapter 40 to chapter 44. And of course, we're not going to read all of that, but we're going to focus on just one verse. And in verse 4, it says, "And the man said to me, Son of man, look out with your eyes and hear with your ears and fix your mind on everything I show you. For you were brought here for that I might show this to you. Declare to the house of the Lord everything you see." And then God goes and lays out for four chapters. He talks about a new temple that he is building. And he is very thorough about this temple. He measures out one wall to the other wall. He talks about where the tables are going to be. He talks about the gates. There are several gates. He talks about each of the gates and where they are to be placed. He talks about the rooms. He talks about the burnt offerings that we don't have to do anymore. And he talks about the animals that can be put on the burnt offerings. He talks about what the priests are allowed to eat and what they are not allowed to eat. And I said, "Oh Lord, how can I say this to people on Sunday morning as a very short encouragement? And what does that have to do with me?" And God said to me, "You are my temple. I have made you the right height for your purpose in your life. I color my hair. My hair could not have been any other color today to stand before you except what it is. I couldn't have worn anything different because God ordained all of this before I was even born. And he made me in a very specific way. And he made you in a very specific way for your purpose to serve him. This is my service for the Lord today. Whatever your service is, you are perfectly and wonderfully made. He has measured the hairs on your head, the length of your nails, every cell in your body. He has called you by name for a purpose." And when I was thinking about the temple that the Lord made, which was built brick by brick, I was thinking of each cell of my body that has been made. So when Nathan is asking the question, "Will God love you no matter what?" For me, it's something he has already answered. And I know that's the experience of some of you whose faith is strong in the Lord. But for anyone who is feeling shaky, who is feeling dodgy, who doesn't quite know where they stand, God has made you for a specific reason. And he has made you with the personality that you have. You are perfectly, fearfully, and wonderfully made. And that is my encouragement for you today. Now, I'm going to ask all of the fearfully, wonderfully made elephants that are upstairs and downstairs, please can you go out to your groups? That's the children. And thank you to all the leaders that are going to be leading them today. We'll just give them a couple of minutes.
There are lots of them. We are really blessed in this service to have so many wonderful children. Oh, got some new children, which is always wonderful to see. Okay, and before Nathan comes out, I would just like to sing one more song, which I think is still very appropriate to the service. If we can just squeeze that in, and then Nathan's going to come and give us the word. And it's Meekness and Majesty. Please stand or sit. It's quite a gentle song, so you can sit if you need to. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our thanks to Kuda and the worship team for leading us in worship today, and certainly for our guests who are with us today. Thank you so much for being here and to share such a powerful testimony, Sheba and Dora. Just bless you both, and we certainly thank God for the work and the ministry of compassion. Well, I'm going to, with the help of the Lord, give you the remix version today. And I know our time is fast spent, and I want to thank you for just your openness to just allow the Lord to move. Amen. We sometimes can be so conscious of time, and I myself can be like that sometimes. But sometimes we have to let go and let the Lord have his way. And sometimes we get so rigid on the time, and we just have to let go and let the Lord have his way sometimes. Amen. And there's nothing on television later anyway, so there's no... Manchester City's already won the league, and so it's just, there's nothing to do. So, all right. Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm just going to read from verse 1 here, and we read several of the following verses, and I'm just going to give you what the Lord has laid on my heart. Ephesians chapter 2, and it reads like this from the NIV: "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." You see that? By our nature, we were deserving of wrath. But, can the church say but? Here's the good news. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Amen. Will God love you no matter what? Just earlier, I was having a conversation with one of our young people, Zach, and it was as if Zach was in my study room this week, because he made a very important point that I wanted to make today. Because the question before us on paper, we look at this on paper in its simple form: will God love you no matter what? Then we know as Christians, the question is very easy to answer. You don't need me to come up here and give you an explanation or to break this down for you, because we all know that God does love us no matter what. However, the challenge with this question is that for many outside, for many who have not yet come to know Jesus Christ yet as Lord and Savior, you would be amazed, church, as to how many people struggle to embrace God's love, struggle to understand why God would love them. They grapple with it. They struggle with it. they struggle to see how God, who is perfect in all of his ways, could ever love someone like themselves. Perhaps it's someone who is wondering, will God love me, someone like me, because they have made some really, really bad decisions in their life. And perhaps someone is wondering, is there an expiration date on God's care and his love? Maybe perhaps someone is wondering, is there anything that we could do that could disconnect us from God's love? Is there a sin too big? Is there a line of demarcation that if we overstep that line, church, that we would forfeit the grace and the love of God? And church, you know, one of the reasons why many people struggle to accept God's love and his forgiveness, the grace of God, and that four-letter word of love. Because in our world today, there is what I'd like to call a knock-off version of love. It is a cheap imitation of the real thing. Love has become processed. It has become drastically altered from the original biblical view and truth of God's love. You see, love in its purest and legitimate form, it's under siege each and every day. It's been replaced by the real thing. And the challenge for the world today, friends, is if we replace Jesus and his love for a cheap imitation of the real thing, then we'll only be left with a counterfeit love. A counterfeit love that is restrictive, that is limited. A love that is unable to stand the very test of time. And church, even in our society today, there will no doubt be people who this week will receive divorce papers that have been signed. Couples around the world this week will utter perhaps those heartbreaking words, "I just don't love you anymore." Maybe a friend will say to another, "Enough is enough. We have to part ways." And perhaps the very thought for someone else of opening their hearts to someone else to love them and to trust someone again. And it's so difficult because of something that happened in the past. A painful situation, a painful previous relationship that ended in such pain. And now there's a challenge to open up the heart to love again or to receive and embrace love. That's why one songwriter put it this way: in the world, those simple words hit so hard, they turn my whole world upside down. You caught me completely off guard on that night you said to me, "I just don't love you no more." And church, I can't promise you today that humankind will always love you no matter what. I can't promise you that humanity won't let you down or break your heart or break your trust. I can't promise you that. But here is what I do know. Here is what I am assured of through God's word: that God will always love you no matter what. Come sunshine or rain, heartache or pain, God will always love you. Why? Because as the psalmist says, his love endures forever. Now, I want to deal with the elephant in the text. okay, Nathan, God will always love me. Good. But how do we deal with the unforgivable sin that is listed in the Bible? How do we deal with that one? Some of you may be wondering that in your minds. Okay, yes, you say God loves you no matter what. Good, good. But what about the Bible? What about what Jesus had to say? Right here in Matthew chapter 12, when they brought a demon-possessed man to him who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. And all the people were astonished. They were amazed, and they said, could this be the son of David? But here comes those Pharisees. When the Pharisees heard this, they said, it is only Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons. In other words, they attributed the healing of this man that Jesus performed, this great miracle, they attributed the miracle to the devil. And in verse 25 it says, Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? So then they will be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come near you. And then Jesus goes on to let them know that if you blaspheme against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven. But if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, that will not be forgiven. So is there a sin, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit of God, that if a man or a woman were to do that, that would forfeit them from the love, the grace, and the mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Well, I want to briefly leave with you some thoughts concerning this. And there are many different interpretations as to what Jesus really meant here. One of the main ones you'll find is that scholars suggest that he was speaking directly to the Pharisees, and in particular those who were eyewitnesses to Jesus' miracles. So perhaps Jesus was saying, if you see the works that I am doing, if you witness what I'm doing, the miracles I perform, the great wonders that I perform on earth, and you attribute what I am doing to the works of Satan, and you say and you believe in your heart that what I am doing is not of God, but it is of the devil, then you are blaspheming against the Spirit of God. So some suggest that it's impossible for anyone today to commit this sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, because you would need, in their opinion, to be an eyewitness to the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh himself performing a miracle. That is some interpretations of it. There are others that believe that it is possible to commit this sin today. That we can open our hearts and to the devil and to the works of Satan, and we can reject it and even see no need for repentance to God, and we worship Satan and his kingdom, and then that would disconnect us from the grace of God. Now, personally, this is my personal opinion, I more err to the side that you would need to be an eyewitness to Jesus' miracles. That is my personal opinion. However, I do believe that if we open our hearts to the works of Satan, then there's a big problem. Because if we attribute the works of grace and salvation to the works of Satan, then a person would no longer see the need to repent of their sins towards God. And if you don't repent of your sins and embrace salvation, then how can we be saved? Does that make sense? So in an essence, yes, we would forfeit his love and his grace because we don't want to receive or open our hearts to the plan of salvation that he has so freely given to us. The key is repentance. We can never get to the point in life where we see no need for repentance. I remember watching a famous politician, I won't say his name, and he was being interviewed before he became president. That probably gives it away. And he said he was being asked a question regarding his faith in the Lord Jesus, and they asked him, you know, do you ever repent of your sins? Do you ever see the need to say sorry for erring against God and his word? And he said, well, you know, I don't really want to involve God in the process of my wrongs. And, you know, I just like to sort it out by myself. I don't like the idea of involving God in my errors and my faults. I just like to solve it by myself and learn my lessons myself and deal with it on my own. That is not healthy. Because the day that we see no need to turn to God in repentance for the things that we have done, then we forfeit the opportunity for the Lord Jesus to restore us and to forgive us for our sins. Repentance is necessary. Repentance is important. So unfortunately, friends, yes, I would like to stand up here and say that there will not be any human beings in hell and eternal damnation. But the reality is, there will be. And it's not a case that God doesn't love them, but it's a case that they have not opened their hearts to receive God's love for them. God has given them the gift, but they reject it and go their own way. I don't know about you, but when I was younger, and Christmas or birthdays, and my parents used to give me a nice present, I couldn't wait but to open the gift. Can you imagine receiving a gift and all you do is just look at the gift? And you say, oh, that's nice wrapping paper. Oh, that looks really nice. I like the red, the blues. I like the bow. See, it only counts for something if you open it, so that you can see what's inside it. And the problem for the world today is God has demonstrated his love. He has demonstrated his care and his compassion for the world. But we're going our own way, refusing to take heed and to open the gift of his love for us. So in closing today, I'm not going to be able to get through everything. But in closing today, yes, he loves us no matter what. But we do have to be careful with going our own way and refusing to embrace his love for us. It's easy to say, I love you. But you have to also demonstrate it. And God has demonstrated his love for us. I read some research in the week about an article that came out some years ago, and they conducted some research around the UK, around couples and families, and they asked the question, how often do you say to your loved one, to your spouse or to your child, family, how often do you utter those words, I love you? How often? It was thousands of people they surveyed, And they found out that under half, the percentage was under half, only say I love you verbally to their loved ones each day. Only less than half. And they go on to say that they found that some people struggle with the idea of showing love or saying I love you. It makes them feel a certain type of way. You know, for me, growing up, my family as a Gordon, as a proud Gordon, you know, you're kind of raised in a certain way to be tough as a young boy and to have a certain, you know, growing up around an older brother and dad and cousins and so forth. They took the time to make sure that you were reared in a certain way that you can have some street smarts growing up in Southeast London. And to that day, Anna will tell you, you know, sometimes you say, Nathan, I love you, and love you, Nathan. And then sometimes it makes me feel, And we joke about it all the time. There's a word we call it. It's like, oh, that's so cheesy. That's so cheesy. But I'm so glad that God doesn't see his love for us as cheesy. But he warmly offers that invitation of love. And he's not afraid. He's not afraid to say it to the whole world. I love you. So I want to leave these 3 points and then I'm gonna close. Will God love you no matter what? Yes, because he loved us before we loved him. What a beautiful thought to know that God loved us before we decided to give our lives to him. He didn't just start loving us when we became Christians, you know. He didn't think of us as just a waste of space before we gave our lives to him, and then now he starts to like us and treat us well. No, he loved us so much. And he loves us even now that we give our lives to him. Number two, yes, because his commitment of love is eternal. This is so important. God does not withdraw his love. And even Christians I've talked to in the past have struggled with this. Yes, I'm a Christian. I've given my life to him, but I've become disconnected. I've lost my way. I've got off the right track. And Nathan, will God love me to come back on the right track? Maybe I've strayed away too much. Have I strayed away too much, Nathan? Am I going to go to hell? Is he going to torment me? No. His love and commitment to us, it's eternal. I love this from Paul. He reminds the church, first of all, of their past, and then he goes on to talk about their future. He says that Jesus has determined that they would sit in heavenly realms. isn't that wonderful? He says, yes, you were dead in sin, in your transgressions, for the things you did in the past. That old Adamic nature that we're all connected to. But because of Jesus, he has saved us and given us a great hope and a future. Hallelujah. And I'm so glad that I'm a part of a great future. It is a future that is assured. There was an old advert that used to come on some years ago. The future's bright, the future's orange. Who remembers that advert? Right? The future's bright, the future's orange. Well, guess what? That company is now defunct. Some future that is, right? But I'm so glad that the future that the Lord has for us, it will never go by its expiry date. It will never run out. His commitment of love is eternal. But then third and finally, yes, because he adopts us into his family. He adopts us into his family. But I want to also leave you this thought as well. Because as part of being in the family of God, and even for parents who are here, you love your children, but there are times within the family and amongst your children that you have to discipline your children. Discipline is part and parcel of the love connection that you have with your children. When I was younger and I would get out of line, my mom would go for the slipper. Oh, I used to hate that. But do I doubt for one second that my mom loves me? Absolutely not. And I know today there are many different views on whether you should do that anymore. I know that's kind of gone out of fashion. But whether or not we do that or not, discipline is part and parcel of love. And God, in his relationship with us, he loves us, but he also disciplines us. Discipline is part and parcel of being in his family. And in Hebrews chapter 12, as you see in your notes, we see here that the Lord disciplines the one he loves. And he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Isn't that wonderful? Now, do we like the discipline? No. Do we want it? No. But the Lord, because he loves us, there are times when we be going in a direction that he can see through the foresight of his omniscience. He can see, he or she is going in a direction that could bring them harm. So what I've got to do, because I'm trying to get through to them, but it's as if they're on a different frequency. I'm on FM, but they're on AM. And I'm trying to get through, but they won't listen. They won't listen. So what I've got to do, I've got to bring some chastening. Some discipline. And although they won't like it, they'll feel it's uncomfortable for them. At least then I'll get their attention. They may come back to me. And I can get them back on the right path. Discipline is part and parcel of being in the family of God. So friends, as I draw this sermon to a close now, thank you for your patience. Thank you so much for staying with me. You could have left and gone home. But I want to encourage you today. Will he love you no matter what? Yes, he will. Yes, he will. And could there be one today who has yet to embrace the love of God for yourself? You've not yet come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'm here to tell you today, he's knocking on the door. He's knocking on the door of your heart. All you have to do is open the door and let him come in. He loves you, my friend, and he wants to have a relationship with you. Is there anyone today on this communion and this Compassion Sunday that wants to say, I want to give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I understand he loves me no matter what. And today I want to give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there anyone here today that wants to make that fresh commitment today to serve and walk with the Lord? Or secondly, there could be one who says, I want to recommit. I want to rededicate my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe there's some things in my life I've strayed away. I've got off course. But today, I want to embrace his love because he still loves me no matter what. If you're here today, after this service, I want you to meet us in the prayer corner. And we will pray with you and we'll share with you the plan of salvation because he loves you no matter what. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful that your love for us is eternal. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank you that you are in control of our destiny. We thank you that you have given us a great hope and a great future that will never, never go out of fashion. We're grateful that for all those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we have that great assurance and hope that one day we'll be going to heaven. But Lord, until we get there, we pray that your gospel will continue to save many more people, that this community will experience a great revival of the Holy Spirit. That there will be no man, woman, boy or girl that could ever mistake your works for the works of Satan, but that they would see you at work in their lives. And they would open their hearts to receive the Son of God, for whom the Son has set free, is free indeed. So I pray, Lord, for everyone here today, anyone who is struggling to accept God's love, or anyone who maybe have been questioning, I've done something or something went wrong and I don't know if God loves me anymore. I pray today that they would leave knowing that yes, you love them and your love for them is eternal. So bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. The worship team are coming back, and before we head out for refreshments, they are going to lead us in the final song. Lord, the light of your love is shining.
God was so good to give us a rendition of this when Sheba was actually talking, who didn't know what songs we were going to be singing today. And she was saying about shining, and she was saying about how she shines in the environment and the situations that she finds her in. And I just want this song to be the thing that you remember through the week, that the light of the Lord shines through you. So go out there and just shine. This is our final song. Thank you.
Amen. To God be the glory. As we draw this service to a close and receive now the benediction, I want each of you to go through those doors in just a while and throughout the course of this week, knowing without a shadow of a doubt that God loves you. Amen. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for all that we have heard, all that we have experienced today. We thank you for your presence. Your presence that there is the fullness of joy, and we thank you so much that we can experience your presence so freely without any restriction. And Lord, as we go throughout the course of this week, we pray, Lord, that we would indeed let the light of your love shine bright, Lord, in this town, in this community, wherever we go, at work, wherever we go, whoever we meet, we pray that they would see in us your love, your grace, and your light. So as we leave this place now, but never from your presence, now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us one day faultless before the glory of his presence with exceeding great joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let all God's children say,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Amen. The Lord loves you. He loves you all. Bless you.